Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
It could be because I just watched Free Jack, in which the worst casting choice of all time was made by having Mick Jagger play a techno future villain and run around trying to look tough wearing basically a safety helmet. but if you listen to Joan Jett sing and you picture Mick Jagger, and it turned out ever that Joan Jett was actually Mick Jagger as a woman, you wouldn't be that surprised. Like, they're kind of the same person, right? When you think about it. Am I wrong?
No, you're not
like,
wrong.
Kind of with that sneer and that little lip curl.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, she's a lot shorter than he is. But, yeah, I mean, just you play with that one. That's my gift to you on this.
You're so sweet.
Tuesday morning at 5 o'clock. Oh, you know, it's one of my favorite compliments that we get about the show, John. And this happens so randomly. I'll just be talking to somebody like, yeah, I love your show. I'm like, oh, thanks for listening. That's fantastic. I appreciate it. Yeah, my husband and I get up every morning, and the first thing we do is we turn you on and we listen to you together.
Wow.
And like, I know, and I think that's so, A, humbling, you know. Great, now I got to be good at 5 o'clock in the morning. But also, just, that's...
But you know what? Grab your cup of coffee, sit at the radio or your phone.
I love the idea that... That means they're not doing separate things.
Correct.
They're doing something together that they think is valuable enough to do daily together, and I some way make that possible. You know, like, I love that. I think that's amazing.
You're very thought-provoking and conversation starters, sure.
And I make Joan Jett Mick Jagger jokes. So, anyway, the Scambia County Commission. Okay, so... I know we've been talking a lot yesterday about the Scambia County Commission meeting. It'll be today and tomorrow. There was so much in this meeting, and, you know, we'll get to it. But really interesting stuff. The one thing that we hadn't talked about yet, the whole issue of the Escambia Children's Trust. And if you don't remember, the issue had been that when it was originally passed, we all voted on it to help the kids, right? Okay, fine. Passed. They're funded. There were some, you know, issues around how it was running. There was issues around who was being funded. That seems to largely have been fixed under, Lindsay Cannon. Lindsay Cannon is the one who's running it now, and she's doing, by all accounts, a great job. And Lindsay's fantastic. But then, all of a sudden, we discovered, gosh, what now, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that there was, the way the law is written, that the community redevelopment areas, CRAs, the blighted, impoverished areas, where there's this system set up that when the value of the property goes up, that the extra money that the county gets on those properties would go back into that area in order to make it do better, so that as property values rise, the money doesn't get frittered away to something else, but instead the money gets reinvested, basically, is the theory, in those areas and helps them to continue to grow. So the growth fuels more growth, not in terms of numbers and size, but in terms of quality. That's the theory. Well, okay, so what happens in CRAs where, remember, the Scambia Children's Trust based on property taxes? What happens to the slice of the new property tax that goes to fund the ECT? Well, that's supposed to stay back in the CRA, and then the county runs it, or what is common throughout the state is they come to an agreement with the Children's Trust that they get to basically oversee the money and keep the money and run it the way they want to do it. And that's been really no problem for everywhere in the state, except for Scambia County, where it has become this massive drama. The city has figured their stuff out. The county came back and said, you owe us money for this year, last year, the year before that, and every year going forward. And there's been this back and forth, okay? What they finally, after much, I think, weird perspectives after a lot of arguing and wrangling, what they came to was an agreement that the Children's Trust would basically give over the money. I mean, they would keep it, but they would use it to fund what the county would do children's services as, which is the youth summer program, which is a good program. You know, kids come work for the government. They learn how to do things. They get job experience. They're not in trouble all day long as they're doing work. But, it's mildly expensive. And so having the Children's Trust fund that has been the solution. Well, they were there getting ready to sign this thing on Thursday to come to an agreement. Meredith Bush, who's the attorney for the Children's Trust.
So this would resolve all of the outstanding issues related to the TIF funds. We would enter into an agreement which would allow the county to spend those funds for children's services. I believe the terminology in the agreement is county youth program, so that's very broad. It would be in the county's discretion as to how they were spent, so long as they were spent for youth programs. And it would resolve any dispute with the trust as to those first 2 years and as to whether or not the trust owes the funds or is required to pay the funds.
So this is a solution. It's a solution that everybody can live with. TIF is just tax increment financing. That's the idea that the baseline value of the property versus the current value of the property, that's the tax increment. And then using the taxes that are generated off of that that increased value, that's the financing. That's all that means. So it's just different ways of saying the same basic thing. Carolyn Appleyard, she's such a sweetheart. They brought a whole bunch of people up to parade about all the good things the Children's Trust is doing, which I thought was really quite beside the point. And I'm a fan of the things that they're doing, and I think they're doing a lot better now than they had been doing the first couple of years. But trying to seemingly, I guess, persuade the county that the trust is doing good work, but they didn't need to because the county is already willing to sign this deal. It was a weird thing. There was a lot of, they did great things for me and my family, and I'm thinking, well, this is a PR move. It's not a bad thing to find out that your money is going to do good things. It just wasn't relevant to the question particularly. But in any case, Carolyn Appleyard, I thought, said one of the things that really was worth saying.
I was the interim administrator when the trust was established, along with a couple of others across the state. The county clerk, the county attorney, county tax collector, state officials, existing service councils, all helped to set this up. Never were TIFs and CRAs mentioned. This was an additional funding stream dedicated to children's services.
And remember, that had been the problem, is that, nobody thought any of this money would be going to pay for infrastructure by the county. And then, Mike Kohler and Lumen May and some others really wanted to use the money to do county things like sidewalks and parks and security cameras and lighting. And that has been the argument, and I think they're just dead wrong to want to do that. Carolyn Appleyard is saying that's really a mistake to think that. But that's none of that really matters anymore, because this is not that. This is using the money that could have been taken and used for that, and instead using it for the youth summer program, which is a program for kids. So that's good. They wrangled back and forth about this. They kind of not quite wailed and gnashed teeth, but basically in the end came to the conclusion that this is going to work.
So you understand the interlocal would address the 2021, 2022, 2024, and 2025 tax years. The 25 tax year hasn't even occurred yet, so it would be 4 years worth of CRA TIF monies. Those amounts for the 3 years that are already known are spelled out in the interlocal. If you wanted to make it specific, if you want to deny the exemption, then I would suggest you specify which years you were directing OMB to bill for.
Now, it's a little technical, the issue of the exemption. The exemption is whether they have to give the money back to the county or not, or whether they can be granted an exemption to keep the money and use it for services. So technically, the county is saying, we're going to give you the exemption, but then you're going to use the money our way to help these children be summer youth employed with the county. So, yes, we're technically not in control of the money, but we're spending the money the way we want to spend it. It's kind of a convoluted system, but it solves it. And Allison Rogers is saying, hey, we're all good here. This solves all the problems. And then Lumen May is like, but I have an idea.
So, Allison, what would prohibit us from going ahead and extending it for the life of the trust tax. I'm going 2026, 2027 to 2028.
Lumen, I have no interest in that. I want to go and see if we make some changes.
I didn't ask you your interest. I asked you what would prohibit us from doing it.
This is what we've been able to negotiate.
So we have been like fighting and bickering and arguing, and I have been criticizing, especially the county commissioners, over this for, I mean, how long now? Like a year or two? And now at the last, I mean, at 11:59 on deal day, Lumen's like, well, what if, you know, instead of building, I don't know, a 2-lane bridge, what if we build a 20-lane bridge? Like, what if instead of granting this as we've negotiated it and as we've all come to the, you know, the frustrating end point here where we're all at least a little bit satisfied and all at least a little bit frustrated, what if we just said for forever it was going to be like this? Because he's a big advocate for the summer youth program is what he's thinking. And everybody else is like, dude, no. And also because, remember, Mike Kohler, part of his issue is that he's literally said you need to do a better job of helping all the kids. His complaint is that they're helping more of the kids in the city. Long conversation to be had about that. But that they're not doing enough to help the poor kids on the west side in his neighborhoods, like in Warrington. And that if that does not happen, he basically threatened to bring the issue back on the ballot to have people vote it down, you know, to eliminate the Children's Trust. Here, I said he said it, but here.
I reserve the right. I will support the interlocal. But, Lindsay, I want to work with you, and I mean it, on these west side schools. This is not acceptable to me, and if I don't see progress, I will challenge this board to put this on the ballot. I don't want to do that. I don't know if we have 3 votes, but we have got to do better. And for everyone that's part of the Children's Trust, I'm not against you. I'm for you. But I do believe in equity for all kids and poor kids on the west side. So that's all I have.
Will you advocate for a middle school in District 3? Because we don't have one.
Dude.
Well, of course. I mean,
that's
a school board issue, but yeah, I would. I mean, where do you want me to get the school board issue?
Lumen is always like, remember when we had the fire station conversation and we're approving 5 either in actual new fire stations or upgrades or adaptations or whatever, but 5 fire stations. And he's like, but what if you also put one at the Superfund site where we don't need one and nobody's asking for one? And I live in District 3. Like, I live right in the heart of District 3. I live where, like, I know what our fire service is. And I'm like, I have 3 fire stations that can respond to my house. I don't need a 4th. Like, what? What are you talking about? But that's how he is a lot of times. He's, you know, well, we're almost done with this deal. Can I get a middle school? And there's a part of me that kind of respects the audacity of it. And there's another part of me that thinks, what are you doing? You know, well, can we make this deal forever? No, because nobody's really happy about this deal. Kohler doesn't love this deal because he doesn't think that the Children's Trust is doing its job right. The Children's Trust doesn't love this deal because paying for, you know, 14, 15 and 16 year olds to work at the county is not really the sweet spot of its mission. They want to help younger kids be ready for kindergarten and, you know, that kind of stuff. But we're living with it. It's an acceptable compromise. And then, you know, Lumen, of course, he's the only one really happy about this because it's funding the youth program, which is his, you know, his pet baby. He's like, well, let's just make it forever. You know, I'm like, dude, stop. Of course, you can't really blame him for being him, so that's fine. Anyway, so when he asks that, why can't we specify that it's forever? That's why all the, what? No. So Allison comes back and explains.
This does encapsulate 4 tax years, and I will say it does resolve the outstanding issue of the 21 and 22 tax years, which we had been previously concerned about.
Yeah, so we're done. And they voted, and it was 5-0, and oh, thank goodness. It's again, the only person who really loves this deal is Lumen, and the only thing he doesn't love about it is that it's not permanent. Everybody else is kind of like reluctantly in on this deal, but it solves the problem. It helps kids. It lets the county do it through the county. Fine. Okay. We can stop arguing about it. And then we can see in a couple of years when how the Children's Trust is doing, whether we want to keep doing it or not. 5:24 on News Radio 92.3. I sometimes feel like, they have this expression, inside baseball, you know, and sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. But I feel like you ought to know what's going on in your county. These are multi-million dollar decisions to which, you know, very few people are paying a lot of attention. And it matters because it's on your tax bill every year. I said before, I thought that the silly thing was that people showed up to argue about the Gulf of America and about the ICE agreement when, you know, meanwhile, they doubled your fire tax. That's only a $12 million line item. Whatever. You know, nobody had anything to say about it at all. It's just we pay attention to all the wrong things. Anyway, I feel like my job is to do the insider baseball. My job is to explain to you, well, this is why they threw a curve at that count, you know, because this is what he was trying to accomplish, and it did not work. You know, like, swung and hit a home run, I'm thinking of last night. Anyway, so there you go. That's your Scammy Children's Trust resolved. Whew.
525. And we appreciate what you do.
Thanks. I try. I just, you know, also people are entertaining. They really are. 525 on News Radio. And I didn't get to all of it. There's a couple of bits in this conversation that we'll get to later. Oh, by the way, the ICE stuff. Oh, we're going to focus on that today. The ICE stuff is fascinating. It really is. I mean, it's really fascinating how much of a hubbub this created at the county commission. And as I've said, over a truly insignificant change in county policy. It's amazing. But we'll get to that.
Was this just one meeting?
This is one meeting, yeah.
One meeting.
This is like a five-hour meeting, and there was so much stuff in this meeting. And some of the stuff they dropped that was really interesting, they didn't even deal with, like the superintendent ballot initiative. They just punted that. We talked about that yesterday. Anyway, 525 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is the story of the one. As a safety manager at a manufacturing plant, he does everything he can to keep his coworkers safe. From finding ways to reduce risks to keeping safety supplies in stock. And for that, he relies on Grainger. Grainger offers a broad range of quality products and next-day delivery, so he can always play it safe. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Markets may be unpredictable, but your cleaning service shouldn't be. At Janny King, the King of Clean, we work with you to build custom cleaning programs that fit your facility and your budget. Our local franchise owners deliver reliable, hands-on service backed by regional support, so you get flexibility, consistency, and peace of mind. That's one less thing to worry about. Head to JannyKingCleans.com to learn more. That's JannyKingCleans.com.
Janny King, the King of Clean.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Newfancamp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
It's a living thing, Brian. It breathes, it eats, and it hates.
I love how music, certain songs will carry certain memories for you. For me, even though I've heard this song, you know, thousands of times probably, the one memory it carries for me was that, like, at the age of probably 15, going clubbing in Orland Park, Illinois. Why? It just does.
Wait,
remember.
You went clubbing at 15?
Well, not at the drinking club, but at the, you know, the juice club.
Oh,
whatever,
okay,
we were allowed
I
to
was
do.
Like,
at the, you know.
Wait a second, Andrew.
Back when it was cool for kids to go clubbing. You know, yeah, we did that in the 80s. 528 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. President Trump wants Russia to just hurry up already and get a peace deal in place with Ukraine. While meeting with NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte at the White House on Monday, Trump said he plans to place severe tariffs on Russia if they don't make a deal within 50 days. I believe he was saying 100% tariffs. The Justice Department is asking the Supreme Court to reject Ghislaine Maxwell's appeal, defending her 20-year sentence for aiding Jeffrey Epstein's abuse of underage girls. Maxwell claims that his 2007 non-prosecution agreement should have shielded her from prosecution as a co-conspirator. The government believes otherwise. And Meta now cracking down on unoriginal content on Facebook, announcing they've now removed 10 million profiles this year for impersonating other creators. The company says it's also taking action against 500,000 accounts that are involved in spam or fake activity. I assume they're talking more about the AI-generated
right.
video. Yeah, mm-hmm. So.
No, that's great. The numbers are baffling to me that the numbers are that high, but still, that's great. I still think that, was it Dutch? I think the first country to really work on a law where you own your image, your likeness, your voice, and you know anybody else, that basically content can be taken down that you don't approve of, that you know was not actually you doing it. I love that idea. I think that's likely the legal path forward for protecting people against impersonation by fake accounts, AI, you know, generative videos, all that kind of stuff. But man, yeah, that's millions of accounts being removed. That's amazing. So, I mean, good for them. It's scary that it's that widespread, frankly.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump's shift toward Ukraine against Russia includes more weapons and potentially tariffs on imports from Russia and its oil buyers.
While the president didn't give a lot of specifics about how those tariffs might be rolled out, here's the most important factor. They would be secondary tariffs, potentially hammering Russia's key trading partners like India and China. What's more, the president confirmed he's going to help Ukraine by selling arms to our NATO allies, who then in turn could send them to Kyiv to help stop the slaughter.
Fox's Kevin Clark. Supreme Court approves mass layoffs at the Education Department. Education Secretary Linda McMahon on Fox.
This lifts the handcuffs off of what we've been trying to do, which really is to get education back to the states where the president believes it does belong. The best education is that closest to the student.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 79 degrees. It's partly cloudy here in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. Deputies in Okaloosa County say they've nabbed a suspect that stole a pickup truck near Crestview within an hour of the theft. It happened over the weekend on Sunday night. The victim said his truck was stolen from his driveway and the suspect rammed his gate to get out. The Okaloosa Sheriff's Office says deputies were quickly given a description of the vehicle, and it didn't take long before the truck registered on a Flock camera in the southern portion of the county. Deputies stopped that vehicle in Destin around Miracle Strip Parkway. They say they've arrested 32-year-old Taryn Schaffner of Baker. Now he's facing multiple charges. That includes grand theft of a vehicle and criminal mischief, as well as several habitual traffic offender violations. Well, if you're going to be driving around this week, adjust your travel time. There's a lot of repairs being made downtown.
Maneuvering downtown streets could be a little bit of a challenge. A portion of B Street between Garden and Romana Street is temporarily closed for 2 weeks as construction work gets underway. Alternate routes include using Garden Street, A Street, and Romana Street. The work is part of a $21.5 million improvement project on Garden Street from the 110 freeway to Pace Boulevard. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. And, well, the Pensacola Beach Air Show, always one of the biggest events of the year around here. And the preliminary numbers are definitely showing it. We do have those in. It's estimated now that about 250,000 people attended from Thursday to Saturday. Based on past shows, 45% of the people who came to the show would be residents. Darren Schaefer with Visit Pensacola says that number alone creates a $2.5 million economic impact. 55% would have come from outside of the county. Well, an extra belt and suspenders to keep it in place. That's how our Northwest Florida congressman described his amendment to the Defense Appropriations Bill. That's the one that would prevent funding, federal funding, defense funding from being used to move the Blue Angels to a different home base. Jimmy Petronas said without some layer of protection, any government entity can be moved.
With the Big Beautiful Bill, John Cornyn had placed in it amendment. Now, I'm not sure if this amendment got stripped out. I think it ultimately did, but he had put an amendment in the Big Beautiful Bill, and I think with an appropriation of about $20 million, to move the space shuttle from the museum at Washington Dulles airport and move the space shuttle to Texas.
Petronas said with the legislative act, a government fixture can be moved to another location. He says there's many places that would love to have the Blues in their backyard. He also said that he was able to secure funding to repair the Blue Angels' damaged hangar. Well, there's a new report ranking the state of Alabama 19th in the nation on a list of America's top business states. The 2025 report compiled by CNBC based its ranking on 135 key metrics in 10 categories, including the cost of living, business friendliness, quality of life, and access to the capital. Out of a possible 2,500 points, Alabama scored over 1,300. 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We do have mostly sunny skies today with very hot temperatures, high near 94 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Going into the middle of the week, we're expecting some heavy showers and thunderstorms to move in as we do have a low that will be moving into the Gulf. This is going to be bringing some heavy tropical rains with the possibility of flash flooding, 80% chance of rain on Wednesday, high near 92. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Keeping that heavy rain threat around for your Thursday with a 90% chance of those heavy showers, high near 88. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 77. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 79 in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 78 Milton. Our next news at 6 a.m. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. TSMC, the world's main producer of advanced AI chips, is expected to post a 52% jump in second quarter profit to record levels, although U.S. tariffs and a strong Taiwan dollar could weigh on its outlook. LSEG estimates say Taiwan semiconductor manufacturing company is forecast to report net profit of $12.9 billion for the 3 months ending June 30th. NVIDIA said it hopes to resume sales of its H20 general processing units to China. In a major win for the company that has suffered from U.S. export curbs. The U.S. government in April told NVIDIA it would require a license to sell the chips to China, effectively halting their sales. Meta Platforms Chief Executive Officer Mark Zuckerberg said the company is building several massive data centers to power its artificial intelligence efforts, with the first one expected to come online next year. Frustrated by the quality of Meta's past AI efforts, Zuckerberg has been investing heavily in infrastructure and talent. Futures are currently mixed. That's Your Money Now.
Join Claimology Thursday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Matthew Vanderford with Claimology will be talking about insurance claims. He'll be discussing storm claims, as well as the importance of being properly insured prior to a storm and inspections after a storm. Matthew will be taking calls to answer your questions, so you'll know what to do before the next storm arrives. That's Thursday at 9:30 with Claimology on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried
cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio. Oh, 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 oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's not a highlight or our year that we can do than perform at the end of the season here in November and over the beach tomorrow. We cannot wait to perform with you and see you out there. Please bring in the energy you have the last couple days. Anytime we get to hear it over the radio, it gets us fired up. With that, 2025 Blue Angels, ready, Mike!
Yes, the annual event at the Hilton where the Blue Angels come and where, you know, local leaders come and all kinds of people come and they pack it out and it's a good time. And that's Commander Adam Bryant, number one commanding officer, boss for the Blue Angels, doing his signature line that they every boss does that line. And it's a good line. And it's kind of fun. Got to see Jimmy Patronis, who was there at the Hilton for us this last Friday, right before the main air show on Saturday. Jimmy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. What an event. I mean, if I had my fire marshal's hat on, we would have asked the people to leave. That place was packed.
It was well attended. But that was that was your first time going to the reception, right?
It was. I had been to the air show years ago, but that's the first time I had been to the reception. And, you know, my boys got to meet some of the Blue Angels and, you know, just a lot of great community folks there. And but for a weekend of just support for the Blues and the destination, and just you know, patriotism. What a great experience for my family.
One of the things that I love about that event is that they celebrate all the civilian acts because they are so important to the airshow industry and to our airshow as well. I also love they celebrate all the enlisted and the maintainers who all get to, many of whom get to go. I will tell people, I'll tell on you just a little bit because it was kind of funny. The Blue Angels are always surrounded by a little circle of people that want to meet them, and there's always a line to meet any of the Blue Angels. There was also a circle in line to meet our congressman, Jimmy Patronis. There were people waiting in line to meet him, too. So he was the other local celebrity.
But it, the kind of the crazy thing was, is, you know, when you have somebody who spends, you know, $6 million trying to destroy you out there, throwing your face in, you know, ugly ways all over, you know, TV and radio, you know, people start to recognize you a little bit more. So, I mean, I was kind of a poster child there for a while for what my opponent hated in life. So, anyway, thank goodness that there was more that liked me than did like me.
No,
so,
that's absolutely. It was neat.
People.
Agreed. And you guys, I guess you were at a hotel. You got to watch it. I'm assuming you thought the air show was amazing, right? Since you said you'd been a few years since you've seen it.
Yeah. You know, so I'm assuming I didn't like see a run of show, but I don't know if that was the Red Bull helicopter that came out or what, but, you know, came out, did a total 360, which, you
yes.
know, still I think is, you know, mathematically impossible to pull off, but it did. And then the stunt pilots, those guys, I think they truly have no fear. You know, what they were doing, you know, out there over the Gulf was unbelievable.
It was. And I think you're right. I think it was Red Bull who pulled the full barrel roll. I'm like, the what now? You know, and then when they do that stuff, you probably grew up in the Blue Thunder era where, you know, you can't roll a helicopter. Right. But, you know, well, we did.
Hey,
speaking of the Blue Angels, you actually filed a bill last week. It's been a lot in the news. I know our news department's covering it. The bill is designed to protect NAS Pensacola as being the home of the Blue Angels. It's part of the NDAA, if I'm not mistaken. Has that been enacted? And also, how strong of a protection is that? Because, of course, I love it, but I also worry that, you know, some enterprising congressperson from some other place might try to repeal that same thing in the future under more adverse circumstances. But you tell me.
So a few things. One, it's just extra belt and suspenders to keep it in place. Perfect example with the Big Beautiful Bill. John Cornyn had placed in it an amendment. Now, I'm not sure if this amendment got stripped out. I think it ultimately did. But he had put an amendment in the Big Beautiful Bill, and I think with an appropriation of about $20 million, to move the space shuttle from the museum at Washington Dulles Airport and move the space shuttle to Texas.
Oh.
So, I mean, with just as simple with a piece of legislative act,
you can take something that's a fixture or a component or an element of one, you know, government-owned and operated facility and move it to another one if the law instructs you to do it. So I think it's important that you just put a little bit of extra emphasis. But at the same time, it's a little bit of a way to fire people up to ensure that there's enthusiasm for the Blues. There has been efforts from Jacksonville. There's been efforts from San Diego. There's been efforts from Texas. I mean, there's places that would cut off their right arm to be able to have the Blues in their own backyard as their home. So, you know, we're going to be able to secure a little bit more money for repairing the for the hangar. The hangar is in terrible shape. And, again, just make sure their home is always Pensacola.
Yeah, no, I good to see the funding. Good to see the Blues getting even a little bit more protection to stay here, because certainly – you know, every once in a while it comes up as a subject of, you know, this could happen. And we're all like, you know, and it's part of the motivation to make sure that Escambia County stays a very, very military and Navy friendly place. We're talking to Jimmy Petronas. By the way, you scared me a little when you said that the senator was thinking about moving the, you know, shuttle Discovery from the Udvar-Hazy in, because that's a great display. I love that. And we just saw that a couple, you know, within the last year, basically. This hasn't gotten an awful lot of attention, but I think it's important. You were working on a bill. I can't remember if you sponsored it or if you were just a co-signer. H.R. 3902, Restoring Federalism in Clean Water Permitting Act. Can you explain this bill? Because I think it's important, and I don't think it got almost any attention, really. But since we have you on, I wanted to have you talk about it a little bit.
Well, the good thing about it is even the governor brought it up with the president a little bit over a week ago at his tour in South Florida at Alligator Alcatraz. State of Florida had been given delegation. That means we have been given authority to do what are called dredge and fill permits. So sometimes in Florida, you know, you may be developing a site, whether it be a wastewater treatment plant, a school, a hotel, a hospital, you name it. And if there's something wet on the site, you have to offset that wet with a mitigation plan. So we had the ability to manage all of that in-house in the state of Florida. Federal judge had struck it because of some language dealing with the Endangered Species Act that ultimately took that away from us. Meanwhile, the Corps of Engineers, who was the original authority over those permits, then had to go back to doing their old job. The Corps of Engineers does not have the ability anymore, because they basically said, look, since the state of Florida is doing it, we don't have to worry about the manpower to manage those permits anymore. Well, now they're getting themselves overwhelmed, because all the backlog of permits now are being handled by a skeleton crew. So we're trying to create some common sense, some streamlining language with some deadlines, where we're telling the federal government, look, review this process. You know, if the federal government is going to retain this process, then we're going to put a timeline in place where those permits have to be issued. And so it's either like kind of put up or shut up. You're going to do it and put the resources in it and take the program back over. If you're not, Florida's ready to take it right back over again.
It sort of reminds me of a couple of years back when we had the backlog in concealed carry permits, and there was an effort to make a bill. As I recall, I don't think it passed in the end, but the effort was to force the agriculture secretary to issue the permit unless they can show that it needs to be held after a certain period of time. And it sounds like that same kind of thing with the Army Corps getting overwhelmed. You're basically saying, look, it's fine, but we can't let an inadequate bureaucracy thwart these hospitals and wastewater treatment plants and all of that just because of the timeline. Is that basically how I'm understanding this?
That's basically it. You know, because, I mean, the permitting process, I mean, I think these agencies have oversight. They're well-intended, but they do get overwhelmed. But, you know, but I've totally been in meetings before with them, and you can see where they also, at time to time, individuals will have their own agendas. So, you know, we're basically saying we're going to create some predictability. The soft cost when it comes into doing a school or a wastewater treatment plant, they're already high enough. But now if you drag it out for another 6-8 months, a year, then sometimes you make these projects not even, you know, fiscally warranting the investment. And for some people, that's a win.
Right.
But when you're talking about things like the reservoir down at the Everglades and then, you know, statutorily assigned to build in order to help, you know, keep the Everglades clean, and you can't build those projects, then, you know, it has an adverse effect on the environment.
Most definitely. And that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I don't, you know, again, I don't think it's gotten a lot of coverage. And I know it's something you were closely involved in. I wanted to talk about it for a second. You mentioned it a moment ago. Alligator Alcatraz is, of course, big in the news right now. A bunch of Democrats went and visited the facility. Two questions for you, Congressman Petronas. One is, have you visited that facility? And I don't assume you had. It's way outside of your particular area, of course. But the second question is, there's been, you know, the governor had talked about the possibility of opening one of those somewhere in the panhandle maybe as well. Do you know anything about that? Have you heard anything about that?
Yes, I heard the rumor. I think it was me based on the success of how Alligator Alcatraz was performing. It's you had county jails that a couple things were happening. One, some of the county jails were getting filled with illegals that weren't supposed to be here. And the county jails and the county are saying, hey, who's paying my bills to feed and house these folks and their health care?
Yeah.
So the state really needed to come up with some type of a solution, and that's where this came in. The federal government, you know, is enthusiastic about the project, but again, I think if something like this is going to be needed moving forward, then we're going to put everything on the table, I think, from even kind of repurposing maybe even a wing at a current state prison. I think there's a number of things that we will revisit in order to try to make something like this happen. The convenience down there is you have the ability to house them, feed them, you know, kind of minimal with the type of fencing that you would need, because it is in the middle of Everglades, even though it is a secure facility, but then you had the ability to fly them out at the same place.
You know, it's an interesting point you make about the cost share, because we've had several times the conversation has come up, particularly in the Escambia County Commission meeting. I don't think it's come up in the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting, if I remember correctly, where getting reimbursed by the state or the feds for prisoners that we have in our jail has been a real problem. And, you know, that's funding, like you say, that's funding that the county is having to outlay for somebody else's incarceration. And so if that's a problem, then creating a facility like this is actually a way of clarifying the funding and also alleviating the pressure on some of your local governments. And I had not been thinking about that dimension of it, so I appreciate you bringing that up. Last thing,
yeah.
I want to – go ahead.
It's real, but I'm not trying to stir it up. I mean, look, I think – I think you've definitely seen a lot of attention being brought to this particular issue, but it does cost money. And if we're going to continue to operate these facilities, then I think we also need to try to think outside of the box. And if we've got the ability to kind of repurpose an existing facility, you know, do some personnel management, I think there's probably a cheaper cost per inmate type of, solution that's on the table too.
Last thing I wanted to ask you is, last hour we had a really extensive conversation. Gallup does tracking of a poll that they've been giving for more than almost 30 years, and it asks the question of how patriotic are you, and if you describe as very or extremely, that's the highline number. That number has been pretty consistent for Republicans, around 90% for about 25 years. Independents and Democrats, it has really trended down over the last about 15 years or so. Even before Trump won, it was still trending down. It's now below 50%, or right around 50%, for both Republicans and both Democrats and Independents, and particularly for young people, millennials and Gen Z. It's like 40% total that say I'm very or extremely patriotic. This horrifies me for the state of our country, the future of our country. Whatever the cause is, that cannot be healthy for us. What do you think?
No, and you know, what this is, like, to me, one of the biggest reasons why the administration has continued to try to find excuses and ways to allow TikTok to exist in the United States. I met a young man the other day. He stops me. He says, he recognizes me that I'm a politician. He's introduced somebody that I'm a member of Congress. We start talking. So I'm thinking, all right, here's a young man. He was 19, I believe. And I said, so how do you consume your news? So where do you get all your news from? Because he's very opinionated.
Yeah.
And it was interesting hearing his political disposition, very opinionated. The only place he got any of his news was from Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Nowhere else. I mean, he just doesn't watch anything else. So you've got got this generation, just like you were speaking to a second ago, that, you know, if we're allowing that content to get into a mode where it's not patriotic, yeah, we're going to lose that generation because they just don't watch TV news anymore.
The more I think about it, the more I think about the youth and also where they get their information and how that will be a factor in that element of patriotism. So, oh, great. Okay, so the problem's even worse than I thought. Fantastic. Jimmy Petronas, he is our congressman from Northwest Florida, District 1. Jimmy, as always, thank you so much. Great to see you on Friday, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right, brother. I just shot you an email on the space shuttle.
Okay. All right. I will follow up on that. Thank you, because that was a beautiful display. We went to see that last year. And by the way, he did send me a follow-up email on that for moving. There's, what did we say yesterday? $85 million was proposed, and in the actual bill, to move the space shuttle from, was it Discovery, I think, that's at the Udvar Hazy Museum in Virginia, not the National Air and Space Museum that's part of the Smithsonian, but the other one, which is the secret other awesome museum that's fantastic. I mean, I can see it in my eye. They've got a Blackbird in there, and that's SR-71. They've got the Ryan Jenkins crop dusting plane that got turned into the prototype for the Planes movie. Like, it's really, when I say Ryan Jenkins, like, he flew that plane, and it's in the museum. It's really cool.
I didn't know Ryan was a pilot.
Oh, yeah, in his former life. You know, I mean, he did crop dusting when he was younger, you know, and so he was actually also the pilot for the emergency helicopters, I think is what it was. I don't think he was either he was like an EMT on the helicopter, maybe both. I just
That's
forget
just
which,
cool.
but something, yeah, he's yeah. done a lot of stuff aside from like feeding and clothing us, you know. 5:56 on News Radio 90. I can't believe they're trying to move the shuttle. That's amazing. Right. From where it is in D.C. or Virginia, really, over to Texas because, you know, they want a shuttle there because this is where we deserve it. Okay. Not for $85 million, you don't.
No.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Are you a senior ready to downsize but not ready for assisted living? Discover the lifestyle you deserve at Tranquil Villas. This vibrant, independent senior community offers spacious, affordable apartments designed for comfort and convenience. Enjoy clubs, luncheons, walking trails, and community gatherings. It's perfect for making new friends and staying active. You'll find everything you need to live your best life. Why not schedule a tour today? Go to seniorvillas.net. That's seniorvillas.net.
Tranquil Villas, where comfort meets community.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's hot in the summer, but you can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's Cadillac Willie, and their influences include classic rock and jam bands like Widespread Panic, Lynyrd Skynyrd, the Allman Brothers, and the Grateful Dead. Cadillac Willie also enjoys playing funky tunes by folks like James Brown, Stevie Wonder, and the Funky Meters. It's Cadillac Willie, this week at Bands on the Beach.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What kind of hospital is this?
Good morning. Yes, 5:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informer of local dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And David Wayne, I made you look at John.
You did, because I was like, oh.
He saw me look out the window to check out if the sunrise is interesting, and the sun's already up. There's not really a sunrise to be looked at, and it doesn't look that pretty right now anyway. But I made you look.
You did.
That's funny. David Wayne, what do you got for us, sir?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking out the window, too.
Everybody is. Collectively, thousands of people are in their car like, oh, did I? No, that's nothing. Why did Andrew even say it?
Well, the man accused in the June 1st fire attack against a pro-Israel group has a court hearing today. Mohammed Solomon is accused of killing one person, injuring more than a dozen after throwing Molotov cocktails at a crowd marching in support of Israeli hostages being held by Hamas in Boulder, Colorado. The Dragon Bravo fire is continuing to rage in Arizona. That's apparently now forced the closure of the Grand Canyon's North Rim for the rest of the 2025 season. So far, that's burned over 5,000 acres, and it destroyed the historic Grand Canyon Lodge.
Yeah, I saw that. Pretty bad. It also is always weird to me that like a 5,000-acre fire is like a small fire. You know, that's... but right? I mean, these things are... I mean, 5,000 acres is an enormous swath of land, but when it comes to fires, well, you know, it's not that big compared to, I mean, some of them are enormous, but yeah, bad stuff.
Listen on air.